Minerva Radio. Less mainstream, more music.
Welcome to this, our latest edition of Brock and Roll, with me, Mike Brocken, here on MinervaRadio.uk, brought to you courtesy of Coldy Media. Brock and Roll, you might recall, is essentially a kind of a history of rock show, but with a difference as we bring to you long-forgotten moments and developments with the help of some highly collectible sounds. And this time, I'm interrupting our discussions on collectible rock and pop labels, the record labels, after rediscovering a few what I thought to be long-lost tracks from my days on BBC Radio Merseyside, when Brock and Roll was on that particular station. It's great when you find materials you previously thought were gone, isn't it? You just think, oh, there it is, there it is. So, without further ado, let's go straight into the first of these rarities with this little gem.
I'm the face if you want it. I'm the face if you want it, dear. All the others are third class tickets by me. Baby, is that clear? I'm the big wheel, baby. Won't you roll with me? I'm the big wheel, baby. Won't you roll with me? So many guys down the scene, honey.
Isn't it? You probably recognise the voice on that one, the vocals, Roger Daltrey, of course. That's the High Numbers. Their one and only single, one off of the Fontana label, I'm the Face, from 1964. It's effectively, you might say it's a rewriting of Slim Harpo's Got Love If You Want It. I'm being polite there, really. But it's really interesting that, you know, I'm the Face was intended as a kind of a cash-in to reflect the growing mod subculture of that year. And it was freelance publicist Pete Meaden's idea once he'd spotted the group and linked up with them. But the band's big break actually came when Kit Lambert and Chris Stamp then spotted the group at a gig. I think it was over in Wealdstone, perhaps Harrow, somewhere like that. They liked what they saw and they paid off Meaden. I think it was for £500 to get out of town. And then Lambert and Stamp took over. And they were actually looking for a band to appear in a film they were planning. I think both of them might have been film students at the time. And Chris Stamp, of course, is actor Terence Stamp's brother, or was. But they decided to change the band's name at the same time and they became The Who, which is just a brilliant name for a band, isn't it, in the 1960s. And by the way, I have been asked this on a couple of occasions. Keith Moon isn't the drummer on I'm the Face. That job was in the hands of a guy by the call of Doug Sandon. Good drummer, good stuff. It's a nice single, really, I say, but it's a bit of a rip-off, isn't it, really, a Slim Harpo stuff. Okay, next up, another outfit linked to that growing London-based mod R&B scene of the mid-1960s. Shotgun Express were led by keyboardist Pete Bardens, later of Camel. If you know your proggy rock, Camel were a very, very interesting band of the 1970s. And Shotgun Express were a kind of show band that included a host of different personnel at different times, including Peter Green, Mick Fleetwood, Dave Ambrose and others. You know, there were loads of people in and out the group. And they made two singles. Their first single for Columbia was recorded in 1966. And apart from some pirate radio plays, disappeared almost without trace, really. But some years later, it was revived, largely actually by Northern Soul DJs, although Billy Butler on BBC Radio Merseyside played it a lot in the 70s as well. And it was regarded as a classic example of that mid-60s oeuvre. For me, it's a bit overly laden with strings, but I still love it. And by the way, have a think about who the vocalists are. So this is Shotgun Express, and I could feel the whole world turn round.
Saw you, this strange kind of feeling set my head reeling like I hit the ceiling.
Something happened to me then, baby, something kind of crazy, and everything went hazy.
Feel the
Shotgun Express, that. It's a bit laden with strings, isn't it, really? I could imagine some of the artists who appeared on it, you know, people like Pete Bardens and the two vocalists who we'll talk about. Where did they get those strings from? It's just ruined it altogether. But it does work, really. It's good. It's a great record. Great record. I Could Feel the Whole World Turn Around by Shotgun Express, one of only two singles they've recorded for Columbia, EMI Columbia, that is. And with such a change in lineup, they must have been a nightmare for Columbia to market, really. And also, one of the two vocalists, which was Liverpool's Beryl Marsden, didn't always turn up on time and that kind of thing. And also the other vocalist, which is, you probably guessed, Rod Stewart. That's Rod Stewart. He didn't turn up a lot either, really, in those days. So they were a bit of a mixed bag, I think you might say, Shotgun Express. But very, very interesting record, that, from 1966. Next up, one of my favourites from the late 1960s, early 70s, Nirvana. Effectively a duo, Patrick Campbell-Lyons and Alex Spiropoulos. And they released some fantastically inventive and also commercial songs between 67 and 1970. But they only enjoyed one small UK hit with what I consider to be an epic 2.5 minutes of Rainbow Chaser. Does anybody remember Rainbow Chaser in 1968? Wonderful stuff. Nirvana were one of Island Records' early alternative signings, but fell out with label boss Chris Blackwell after two albums and then went to record for Pye. Now, it was for Pye where they recorded just a brilliant record called, ridiculous title, Dedicated to Marcos III. I think it's a bit like, you know, travelling to another planet or something like that. That came out in 1970, and then they moved on to Vertigo as well. Marcos III only sold, I think, literally a handful of copies, so it's therefore the hardest Nirvana LP to find, but it's worth the hunt. So this is Nirvana from that album and Black Flower.
Wear a black flower, you miss a governor. You're the man in the dirty street, the children at your feet. Have a black fly, you miss a policeman and the high court suffering judge who never, never bears a grudge. Peek a black fly, girl in the supermarket, holy man in the monastery with all your misery. Black fly, you that I don't know yet, girl in the music scene and model in between. Black fly, oh, easy, easy, take it slow. Black fly, oh, red light, green light, got to go. The devil can spread his wings and everybody sings. Paint a new world now before it is too late. A place where we can dream of how the world should seem.
Easy, easy, take it slow.
Excellent stuff there. That's Nirvana, the first Nirvana, and Black Flower from their 1970 Dedicated to Marcus III album. Oh, it's great. If you only know, or if you're only aware of the music of the second Nirvana, who were great as well, you know, and if you like a bit of psychedelia, a bit of pop psychedelia, you might say, have a look at the first Nirvana's back catalogue. Fantastic. Weird and wonderful. And a great guitar solo there from Billy Bremner, as my producer sitting next to me now, Ian, has said, before he went to Leeds, he said, no, it's not that Billy Bremner, it's another Billy Bremner. Great session man on guitar. Okay, next up, a friend of Donovan's, who cut a few singles in the good singles in the 1960s, but never achieved a chart hit. She then signed in the 1970s to David Bowie's Main Man production company for a couple of interesting RCA albums, also appeared in a few low-budget UK films, and then began to work out an excellent career as a blues singer of great note. And I'm talking about Dana Gillespie, about whom many tales exist, none the least coming from Dana herself, I think. I picked out Dana's fourth single, for me, her best. It's from 1968, and it's a smashing interpretation of Donovan's You Just Gotta Know My Mind.
You're passing me by, a tear in my eye, you just don't know what I mean. When I'm telling you why, I just gotta sigh, you just can't get on my scene. That's fine, you just gotta know my mind, mind, mind. You just gotta know my mind, 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 mind. You just gotta know my mind, my mind, mind. You just gotta know my mind. When I'm feeling spaced out, my sunshine comes.
A little crack of that, I think, from 1968. Maybe it's a bit backdated for 68, possibly. Hence it, you know, didn't get it into the charts. But it's a really good interpretation of Donovan's You Just Gotta Know My Mind by Dana Gillespie. It was her fourth single. Should have been a hit, I think. Okay, speaking as we were of, first of all, mods, and then secondly, the mid-60s, and then thirdly, Island Records, let's have a selection from probably one of the very best R&B budget compilations of that decade, if not that decade and beyond, actually. This is Sue. Do you remember that in all the rack-filling shops? Island, via the offices of Guy Stevens, had organised a pressing and distribution deal with the US Sue label. And whether by accident or design, they found that they had on their books a 1961 US million seller, believe it or not, by Chicago-based guitarist Phil Upchurch and his combo. Further, the young mods of the mid-1960s had already claimed this track as one of their own, a real danceable track. So Island released it on their Yellow and Red Sue imprint in 1966. So that's 5 years after it was a hit in America. It sold. In fact, it duly sold enough copies to just tickle the lower regions of the British charts, despite maybe possibly sounding a bit dated to mainstream radio audiences of 66. So let's hear this. This is the Phil Upchurch combo and 1961's You Can't Sit Down. lovely that. That's the Philip Church combo. Lovely stuff that. One take, possibly. If you listen to it, you know, a few times, as we have done while we've been, you know, putting it on the show, it could well be one take. Anyway, it becomes a mod anthem 5 years after its release in the States. That you can't sit down. Track later then appears on Ireland's This Is Sue budget compilation, which was on sale for 14 and six. Work that one out. That's less than a quid, almost 15 bob, which is 75p. And that went on to sell hundreds of thousands of copies as a rack filler. And do you remember those rack fillers in newsagents and chemist shops? Not in record shops necessarily. I mean, they did obviously, you know, sell them there too. But that was a real rack filler sale. And Guy Stevens, who was the DJ as well, and he later ends up producing The Clash, doesn't he, and all that. So he broke his agreement with Sue Records in America by releasing other US labels' products on the UK Sue label. So how it all worked out in the long run, royalty-wise, is anybody's guess, I can tell you. Okay, here's a rarity I came across back in the 1980s, actually, on that great label, Bam Caruso. Do you remember the Bam Caruso label? Great label. And it was on the compilation Circus Days Volume 1. And it's by a guy by the name of Nick Gary, whose real name, apparently, was Nick Garibaldi. And the track was taken by Bam Caruso from Nick's one and only album. I've never seen this. It was called The Nightmare of J.B. Stanislas. Ah, it's a great title. I've never even seen the album, but I loved the track that was selected by Bam Caruso for their compilation. So I think classic piece of pop psych in the Nirvana mold. And that's about all I can tell you about Nick Garibaldi or Nick Gary. The title of the track, though, I can tell you, which is Wheel of Fortune.
Himself a coconut Harry and a bottle of cheap red wine. And he went on the great big dipper, but it didn't make him lose his cool. But when he climbed on the wheel of fortune, then he really fell off his stool. Stopped in the middle and Big Bell dropped 1,000 feet to the ground.
Love that. I absolutely love it. Didn't hear it at the time. Didn't know anything about, still don't know anything about Nick Garry, but it was a selection that Bam Caruso found in the 1980s for their Circus Days Volume 1 compilation. Thanks for that. Great. Wheel of Fortune from his Nightmare of J.B. Stanislas album, a one-off release on a very obscure label that I have maybe come across here and there called AZ. Sounds to me like it's late 60s. And it's definitely worthy of investigation. But try to find a copy. I don't know. Maybe somebody's issued it, you know, over the last few years on CD. Anyway, next up, the final single from a Kent band who were very popular in Germany, actually, Bernd Elliott and the Fenmen. Now, in 63, the Fenmen scored a hit single by covering the Beatles' cover of Barrett Strong's Money. That's an interesting development at that time, you know, that... The people weren't just plundering Beatles originals, they were plundering stuff that the Beatles had also plundered previously. And the Fenmen followed this with a cover of New Orleans, a rock and roll song, New Orleans, which was got in the charts but was less successful, after which they proved unable to reach the charts at all. And by 1966, as with many of the groups who rode in on the Merseybeat boom found, chart hits were behind them, you know. It was off later on to the clubs and then the cabaret clubs for those bands. Now, the Fenmen recorded two singles for CBS during 1966. One was a cover, and I've never heard this, and I'm probably glad I haven't heard this. One was a cover of the Mamas and Papas' California Dreaming. Oh, I know, the mind boggles, doesn't it? The other one, though, was a splendid piece of psych pop entitled Rejected. Neither troubled the chart compilers at the time, but for me, Rejected really is something of a hidden gem. See what you think.
I grew up in town. Lots of buddies out there. That place started getting me down. Same old faces around me, so I let that turn on me so hard. I left and said goodbye. Getting rejected everywhere I go.
Reject from now on.
Thought I couldn't go wrong. Just as nice as the town I knew so long. I left and said goodbye. Get rejected everywhere I go.
Reject from now on.
Great, all round good single. That's a shame it wasn't a hit. That's the Fenmen and Rejected. One of those seemingly random CBS singles from the post-beat era. And there are loads of those on CBS. I'm sure there's a story there, you know, behind all of that. Perhaps something like, well, if enough hits the fan, some of it's bound to stick, I would think, something like that. Even Jerry Marsden recorded three singles for CBS, one of them being Charlie Girl, of course, because that's the show he was in after disbanding the Pacemakers. But all of them failed. I mean, the fail rate of those CBS singles was massively high, massively high. Maybe they were just interested in Dylan, Simon and Garfunkel and the Byrds by that time and just threw these things out. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of all things Liverpool as we were, have a listen to this lost recording. This is the Hideaways, the band who played The Cavern more times than anybody else, including the Beatles, live at Liverpool's Sync Club in 1965. The Sync Club was in Hardman Street, I think. And there's two tracks that they're involved in. It's just the atmosphere is great. One of them, they're barely recognisable, really, because it's only a reel-to-reel recording. But one of them is Arthur Alexander's Black Knight, and the other one is Bo Diddley's Keep Your Big Mouth Shut. Check out The Hideaways.
Yeah.
great. Yeah, the girls love them, don't they? That's the Hideaways. I don't know if you know much about the Hideaways, but they were one of the most popular. They weren't really a beat group, you know. They were an R&B band, really, so a little bit later than that Merseybeat wave. And that's them caught live by a couple of Dutch guys who brought a book out. It was a photograph book out, I think, called Beat in Liverpool, that appeared in the mid to late 1960s. And it also included a little 45 disc as well. And that's taken from that. Amazing thing, really amazing. Especially since the recording was like a microphone stuck in the air, probably, and reel to reel. Fantastic. Hideaways, Keep Your Big Mouth Shut, and Black Knight, Arthur Alexander's Black Knight. And they were a popular band, and they are still going in various ways now. So if you're visiting Liverpool during the summer or later on in the year, just check out and see if the Hideaways are on anywhere. They play the Cavern quite a lot. And I think they played over 400 times at the Cavern, which was a record, and will remain that, I think. OK, let's keep things a little bit Liverpool-based for another cracking 1960s single that failed to chart, yet kept collectors literally searching to this very day to try and find it. The late Tony Jackson left the searches during the summer of 1964 at the height of the group's success, and then went on to form The Vibrations. That group enjoyed a minor hit with their first single, which was a cover of Mary Wells' Bye Bye Baby, the same year, 64, so it all looked quite promising, really. But nothing followed after that, despite some really good singles. For example, a great cover of Goffin and King's Stage Door, wonderful thing. And by the time the Stage Door was released, the group had become the Tony Jackson Group. And as previously proposed, like many Merseybeat era artists, they'd also signed to, yes, that's it, CBS, for a singles deal, which included this record. It's just a great Birds Come Searchers sounding record. It's called You're My Number One. And it's probably perhaps a bit too late into that jingly jangly marketplace. So the single unfortunately disappeared without trace. But I still love it. So listen to a bit of jingle and jangle, the Tony Jackson Group, and You're My Number One. Tony Jackson Group, You're My Number One. Another one of those missing CBS singles. I don't know if it was ever played, if it was ever properly promoted, but I think it's a little belter. Good stuff, that. One singer I followed a little as I grew into my teenage years, really, was a Jerry Bron Agency artist by the name of Richard Barnes. And Barnes was a mainstream pop artist who had achieved a little bit of a success as a member of a group called the Quiet Five. But by 1970, he'd gone solo and was singing songs written by Tony Hazard. I don't know if you know Tony Hazard's work. He's also local to our area. I think maybe Prescott, maybe, Tony. Anyway, two of Hazard's songs, Take to the Mountains and Go North, were released by Barnes as singles and should have been major hits, but only crept around the lower 30s in the charts. And I loved both of these tracks. So I purchased the Richard Barnes album that year of 1970 from the musical box in Old Swan, as I remember, and I still have it to this day. In fact, it's on the table in front of me here. I love the Tony Hazard material, but the standout track for me on the album has always been the poet Pete Brown song, High Flying Electric Bird. So let's have a listen to that one.
Flying bird, don't leave the last for me. High flying bird, don't know when rest will be. Into the dark where electric wings spark you into life. Sketches of night are first to fade away. Stretches of light grow wings to greet the day. Into the waves where submarine slaves kiss you into life. Flying over the mountains of frost, blowing over the weddings of dust. Into the dark where electric wings spark you into life. High flying bird, don't leave the rest for me. High flying bird, skies where I need to be. Into the grin where electric eyes spin you into life. Sounds of the day smash themselves into dreams. Sun where we lay, tears running down the beams. Into the sun where the silver wings run themselves into ground. Flying over the mines of gold light, blowing over the bottles of light. Into the grin where electric eyes spin you into life. Mountains of rust, blowing over the weddings of dust. Into the dark where electric wings spark you into life. High flying bird, don't leave the last for me. High flying bird.
Yeah, that's lovely. Beautiful 6/8 song, High Flying Electric Bird, by Richard Barnes, and the song was written by Pete Brown, poet, lyricist. He did a lot of lyrics for Cream, you might recall. He spent a lot of time in Liverpool, in the poetry circuit in Liverpool too. Had the group The Battered Ornaments, which is a great name, isn't it? And Piblocto. And I recall Piblocto supporting Black Sabbath at Southport Baths in 1970. Were you there? Were you there? Southport Open Air Baths? Not there now, is it? Fantastic gig. They were great, as well as Sabbath, of course. Okay, from the utterly sublime to the completely ridiculous now, let's have something very silly.
How can we get through to him? with no time to spare, as a man rowing upon a shoreless lake, never slowing the pace but never spying land. I am as most people, I suppose, lost, not knowing why, but I need to know.
We need your love the whole day through. We need your love the whole night through. But how do we get through to you? Help us to stop, stop feeling blue. Communication.
I know. I'll go and see what men have done before me in the past. In case there's one who wrote or drew or painted, perhaps in fun, a moment of his life that gave him pause. Who knows? The answer may lie in the heat of the sun.
I saw him with Marlene at the movie.
I saw him with Pat at the store.
Pat's a blonde.
I'm a blonde. Can I get a date with him? Do you really think I could?
Oh, oh, yeah.
We need your love the whole day through. We need your love the whole night through. But how do we get through to you? Help us to stop.
I must find myself before it's too late. In life or death, in love or hate, in peace and war, or through the gate of hell, if that's the way to seek my fate. And then, and only then, could you get through to me. And then, if all is well, we'd make a date. But not now, you see, I really have to go. So would you girls mind stepping off my motorcycle?
There he goes. Yeah. Communication, that is. Have you heard that before? From the late David McCallum. Paying tribute to David, really, because he was a fine actor, wasn't he? Fine actor. And that's a moderately successful American single. It was released over here too, but deservedly stiffed, I think. And of course, his popularity as Ilya Kuryakin on the Man from Uncle's TV series, you know, dictated a single, at least. It's got every available Brill-building riff in there to fill it all out as well, hasn't it? Just amazing, really. There was also, actually, an utterly daft album, Music A Part Of Me, which was received a release over here, actually, on Capitol. It's on the table as well, as I'm looking at it as well. I don't know how many copies were actually sold. I've got a quite well-used copy of it, but sometimes you can tell it was never played. It was played in this case. Anyway, he rode away on his motorbike at the end. But perhaps we could link that with a great track now. Perhaps maybe an equally self-obsessed Marianne Faithfull is coming the way on her motorbike. So let's get into this next track.
Thank you.
just so lovely, isn't it? Lovely piece of Les Reed's orchestra with Girl on a Motorcycle. For me, one of the great film soundtracks of the 1960s. And of course, Les Reed, you know, crafted his work really with the John Barry Seven. Previously, he was a member of the John Barry Seven, of course. And actually, I prefer the music to the film any day of the week, really. Some lovely jazzy blues motifs in there, which also bring to mind actually our final selection of the day, this time from Argent. One of my all-time favourite albums of all time is Odyssey and Oracle from the Zombies, once grossly overlooked by CBS, of course, but now far less so. The Zombies had broken up by the time the album had been released, as I say, CBS for you, and Rod Argent was already planning his new project, which was called Argent. But in the meantime, Time of the Season had become a hit for the Zombies. All very complicated. Thanks, CBS. That's great, you know. I think the Argent album is actually another overlooked masterpiece, and on this next selection, Bring You Joy, it contains something of the blues jazz inflection suggested by Les Reed. So enjoy, I'll see you soon, and meanwhile, we'll take a listen to Argent. Thank you.